Galatians, if you would please. We're going to read about three different passages or verses at least in the book of Galatians. And then we'll just kind of see where the Lord would have us to go. I've spent quite a bit of time studying and meditating on the subject that I want to deal with this morning. And I'm just praying the Lord will help me to know what to say, what not to say, and just have discernment and direction in the service. In Galatians chapter number 2, Galatians chapter number 2, and verse number 20 will be the first verse that we read. The Bible says in verse number 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I just noticed this, reading just now this verse, that there's only one mention in verse 20 of death. I am crucified with Christ. Only one mention of a death. But notice the repetition of the word live. Do you know, I've never seen the emphasis until I just now seen it. The Lord let me see that while I was reading. He said, I'm crucified, there's the death. But He said, nevertheless, I live. He said, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Five times. One death, five emphases on life. Now I mentioned there a minute ago that the cross is an emblem of death. And the cross won't hurt you, it will kill you. It won't kill you spiritually. Are you listening? The cross will not kill you spiritually. The cross, spiritually, is not the emblem of death. It is the emblem of life. Are you listening? Amen. The cross did not kill Jesus spiritually. The cross was not an emblem of death to Jesus spiritually. In fact, Hebrews chapter 12 tells us there who, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The cross did not kill Jesus spiritually, but it did physically. The cross in your life will not kill you spiritually. It will not kill your spirit, but it will wreak havoc on your flesh. Amen. And when there's deadness associated with the emphasis of the cross, whether it's teaching, preaching, just reading, or whatever, if there's deadness related to that grand and great emphasized theme of the Bible, I promise you that is the response of the flesh. When there's deadness, that is a response of the flesh. The flesh does not want to die. The flesh wants to live. Therefore, it does not want the cross. But we have in verse 20, the key to, no doubt, the key to Paul's life and ministry. I was thinking about this morning. I'm just trying to mind the Lord. I was thinking about Paul this morning. As far as I'm concerned, he was the greatest Christian probably that's ever been known to us in the church dispensation. We know John the Baptist, Jesus said that there was none greater than John the Baptist, specifically relating to him being a prophet. All right, but no doubt Paul was probably the greatest Christian, and look what he went through. Look how he suffered. He knew the day he got saved that he was going to be suffering. I mean, God commissioned a man to go to him and tell him what things he must suffer for my sake. Right. Well, you say, preacher, how was it that Paul was the great Christian that he was, had the great life that he had, went through all that he went through, shipwrecks and rejections and stonings and beatings and snake bites and you name it. How did he do it? I tell you why. You can't kill a man that's already dead.
Amen.
Yeah,
that's right.
The reason those things did not bother him, and Paul made the mention of that in Acts, the book of Acts, he said when he knew those things that would befall him, talking about bonds and afflictions, he said, but none of these things move me. You know why? He is dead. That's the answer to Paul. His endurance, and my friend, his perseverance, was that Paul was dead. Humanly, he was dead to this world, but he was alive unto God. So I just want to tell you, in case you're maybe dodging the cross this morning as a sinner, don't want anything to do with the cross, let me just say again in our verse, five times after the mention of being crucified, the Bible talks about lived and liveth.
Right.
Oh, brother, I thought for 20 years, I thought I was living. I thought the life that I was pursuing was a life of that I was really living. Popularity and pleasures and all of that direction. I thought, man, I was living. But let me just give you a truthful statement. January 20th, 1981, at the age of 20, when I made an old-fashioned trip to an old-fashioned altar, and I got gloriously, wonderfully killed. Y'all thought I was going to say saved. Salvation and crucifixion are inseparable. I got killed, and then there, you know what you can do with a dead man? You know what you can do? You know what God can do with a dead person? Raise them up. Give them new life. Amen. That's what a dead person needs. They don't need trophies. They don't need recognition. They don't need, my friend, anything. They don't need money. They don't need position. The only thing a dead person needs is life. Amen. And sinners are dead. Sinners are dead. Trespassing sin. What you need to be quickened, you need to be made alive. But oh, I began to live when I got saved. Oh, yes. Now, you can't see that in a lot of churches. You can't see that on a lot of professing believers' faces. But it's not the truth. It's not the truth what you're seeing. The truth of the Bible is, brother, when you get saved, God gives you life. He is life. Now your life is over.
Amen.
Your life is over. And I'll mention this later on, Lord willing, but I'm just telling you, we're in a day where there is a salvation offered to humanity without death.
Right.
Show it to me in the Bible, friend, a salvation that does not require, one, Jesus to die, and two, you to die. When a person comes to Christ for salvation, he is, my friend, coming and saying, I am not only dead in my trespass and sin, but my life of sin is over.
Amen.
A person crucified never returns to his old life. Never. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to pray. Let's read. I want to read the other verses. That was chapter 2, verse 20. Brother Silas referenced this verse this morning in the Sunday school, chapter number 5 of Galatians. In verse number 24, the Bible says, "And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." Verse 25, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Notice, if you will, a second emphasis, verse 24, of again being crucified. And then chapter 6 of Galatians, chapter number 6, verse number 14. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 14. Probably one of Paul's favorite verses. "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." What about that? I want to preach, if the Lord will help me, on a matter of life and death. Now, if there was an issue come in your life physically, and you would identify it as a life and death issue, you would be saying this is top priority. You would be saying that this is of the ultimate urgency. This demands my seriousness. When somebody says this is a life, it's a matter of life and death. It's not something to play with. It's not something to fool around with. It's very critical. It's very serious. In fact, there's a whole lot, my friend, weighing in the balance of which direction it goes. And I begin to think about the subject, a matter of life and death. I begin to think about throughout the New Testament particularly, the many times I started trying to write them down and I said, well, this is not going to work. Because it would take a service or two just to read them. Not preach them, just read them. The verses and passages that hooks together life and death. It's a matter of life and death. You say, "Preacher, where are you going?" Well, there's a lot of subjects I could deal with that really are a matter of life and death. Salvation. Salvation is a life and death issue. Amen? They're dead, therefore they live the way they're living. Amen? Amen. What's dead in them needs to be made alive, and what's alive in them needs to be made dead. It's a life and death issue. And there's a lot of subjects that's life and death issues. Now this week we've had a little touch of revival. We've had a little touch. I don't think God has done and is finished with all that He really would love to do. And you've heard this statement, and well, preacher, we're at our church, we don't have enough life to have revival. You know, you probably think, well, our church, we're not going to have revival. We don't have enough life. But the truth of the Bible is this. We're not having revival because we're not dead enough. The truth of the Bible is the reason we're not having revival is that we are too much alive. Not in the spiritual, but in the physical or in the human or in the fleshly realm. We're too much alive. And where there's a life in one realm, it promotes and produces death. Amen. In the other realm. Human, physical, fleshly life produces death in the spiritual. You see it? The Bible said in Romans chapter number 8, that they that mind the flesh, they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, and so on, those that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And then it goes on to say, the Bible said that to be carnally minded is death.
Right.
To be fleshly minded produces death in what realm? The spiritual. Whatever area, whatever realm you're alive in there's only two, spiritual and fleshly. Whatever area that you're alive in, you're producing death in the other realm. If you're alive in the spiritual realm, guess what it's doing to you fleshly? It's nailing you to a cross. Amen. There's no deadness in the spirit. If you go to churches and they're a dime a dozen, they're dead as 4 o'clock, the majority of them. You're hard-pressed to find a church that's got any life, spiritual life in it. You can find church that's got crowds. You can find churches that's got activities. You can find churches, my friend, that's got this and that and the other. But where is the life of the Spirit of God? Where is the Lordship of the Savior? It's not there. It's gone. It's dead. Why? Because most people are alive in the fleshly realm. And therefore it's producing death in the spiritual realm. A lot of things you can fake, but you can't fake life.
Amen.
It's either there or it's not.
Right.
Amen. You're either dead or you're alive. One of the two. There's not really no middle ground. Amen. I'm talking about the key to our church. Our church going to the next level. Listen, I'm just preaching, being honest as a pastor. We've got people of our church, my friends, getting slack. God's wanting to take our church to another level. It's been evident. It's been evident. We've been at the threshold numerous times. And my friend, we got some wanting to go on in. We want some to go on and get close and intimate. And at the same time, we've got some, my friend, that's getting slack and lazy and slothful. Treating spiritual things in a very casual way. And I know I can't preach this way without somebody saying, well, is he preaching that to me? Well, just tell yourself, I believe he is. In fact, you're to say, I hope he is. Amen. I hope he is. But listen, we need to be crucified with Christ because it is a matter of life and death. Amen. Well, let me just give you this quickly. In the Bible, there is a life out of which comes death. That is the physical life. Out of your physical life comes death. Your life is producing death. Every day you live, you're dying. I just hate to tell you that. When you were born physically, you began not life right there, you begin dying right there. Amen. Amen. Your whole life is headed, that's depressing, isn't it? But your whole life is headed to the graveyard. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Amen. So, amen. That's right. There is a life which comes out of death, or out of which comes death, or in other words, a death that concludes or ends life. But the emphasis of our message and text and thought is there is a death out of which comes life.
Amen. Yeah.
There is a death, my friend, that does not conclude or end life. There is a death that causes life. You said, Preacher, boy, I wish I had a real reason to live. I wish I just had some of this life you're talking about. Well, you know where you get it at? You've got to be dead first. You've got to die first. Amen? Amen. That's contrast to the world. I mean, I've got verses here at Romans chapter number 6. Several verses in Romans chapter number 6, verse 18 through 21. You ought to read it when you get home. Amen. And verse 23, you can find there in that those verses where God hooks up sin and death. You know what really will kill you? It's not the cross. It's sin. Sin's what brings death and defeat in your life. Sin is what, my friend, dries up a church. Sin is what takes the Spirit of God out of an assembly. Amen. Sin is what takes the anointing off of singing and teaching and preaching and witnessing. It's sin. It's not the cross. The cross for the Christian is an emblem of life. Amen. If we would reject sin near as quickly as we reject the cross, we'd have revival. Amen? And you can tell when you get up and preach on sin, people will get mad. They'll get upset. They'll leave a church. Amen? They can't handle it. They don't want to handle it. And it's the very thing they need to hear. Amen? You preach on the cross and it's dead as 4 o'clock. You can sing about the songs about the cross, and we've heard it so much that really, in fact, it has become the old story. Hey man, when's the last time you got blessed by the cross? When's the last time the very subject and theme ministered to your heart? The cross. Oh, there's no salvation apart from the wonderful cross on which Jesus hung and bled and died that we can be saved. Can I give you this? There's other verses. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 and 6 contains passage of hooking up death, sin, and death together. James chapter 1, verse 13 through 16 deals with it. Sin is what produces death. Well, I wish I could enjoy church. Deal with sin. Well, I wish I could enjoy serving God. Deal with sin. Now, the devil won't tell you that. The devil says it's dead at church. You need to quit it. Amen. The devil says you're not enjoying reading your Bible. You just need to quit it. The devil says you don't enjoy none of that. It's boring to you. You're having to make yourself go. Hey, should I tell you why it's dead? Deadness comes from sin. Amen. Deadness comes from sin, not from the cross. Paul said, I'm crucified, and then he said, I'm alive 5 times.
Amen.
Christ liveth in me.
Right.
Jesus can't be your life till your life is dead. Amen. Paul said, Christ, who is our life. Listen at this. I'm talking about the difference between the earthly life or fleshly life that is concluded by death or ends by death compared or contrasted to the life spiritually that is produced by death. Did you know that the death of Jesus, listen to this, His life before the cross was nobody else's but His own. Before the cross, Jesus' life could influence others and did. Jesus' life could be seen and it was, but it never was possessed by nobody but Himself. But it was through a cross, not that His life ended, but that His life was shared and imparted to all believers.
Amen.
We rejoice about having the life of Christ, Christ in me, the hope of glory. That could not happen without a cross.
That's right. Amen.
Jesus cannot give you His life unless He had a cross experience and died. That's why we shout about the cross. That's why we rejoice in the cross. That's why Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Why? Because it was through that cross that He gives us His life. See, here it is. On the cross, Jesus gave His life for us. But because of the cross and the resurrection thereafter, He's giving His life to us. That's how come I can enjoy the Lord and enjoy the things of God. It's not that He gave His life just for me. No, I'll shout forever about that. Eternity be filled with the praises of God over a Lamb of God that died for us. I want to tell you, you don't have to wait to get to heaven, my friend, to be a partaker of His life, because through His cross He makes His life available to everyone that believes. If you don't have His life, you don't have Him. The Bible said, "He that hath the Son hath life." Amen? But here's how that relates to our message. Jesus could not give us His life without a cross. Some of you know where I'm going. You cannot give Jesus your life without a cross.
Amen.
Jesus, Brother Silas, could not give me His life until His earthly life was over.
Amen.
I cannot give Him my life until likewise my earthly life is over. And don't take me wrong. Don't take me wrong that if you get saved, that you're just going to live a miserable, no more joy life, that it's over. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your earthly life, your fleshly life, your self life. My friend, is over. Amen. So you cannot give, and everybody shouts about the fact Jesus gave His life for us and wants to give His life to everybody, but they just don't want to give Him theirs. I've had people to tell me, "Oh, preach, I die for Jesus." I said, "Wait a minute. You won't even live for Him. You won't even go to church. You won't even read His Bible. You're not interested in sanctification and living for God. And you say you would die for Him? I dare say, I don't believe a word of it. If you won't live for Him, you won't die for Him. Jesus died for us because He lived for us. He lived for us. He lived to satisfy God. And brother, He died, and therefore He is able to impart life to you. And I'm going to tell you, if you ever get His life, you will find out that it's not boring. You will find out, my friend, yes, it ruins you concerning sin. Yes, it does change your heart and your attitude and your mind and your direction and your friends. And it does change that. Oh, the joy that comes with the life of Jesus. Do you think heaven's a boring place? Do you think heaven is a sad place? No, there's not one speck of sadness in heaven. There's not one speck of depression in heaven. Not one speck of defeat in heaven. Why is it? Because in heaven, everybody there shares the life and the character of Jesus. He's the light of that city. He's going to be the theme of our song and of our worship forever. Heaven's never going to be boring. 10 million years from now, it'll still be fresh and exciting. Why? We're enjoying the life of Jesus. Not just the life with Him.
Amen.
And one of the joys, Brother Craig, of heaven is, my friend, those that not only receive His life, but in turn gave their life. And that's what a slave is. That's what a bond slave is. He's a love slave. He's one that says to his master, "Yes, I can go free, but I don't want to. I love you, and I'm not serving you because I have to. I'm serving you because I love you, and I want to."
Thank you, Lord.
But the joys of heaven will not be just those that have received the life of Christ, but those who have in return give Him their life. Amen. As He gave us His on a cross. And then when we get over there, we'll enjoy a life with Him. If you could exclude, listen to me, if you could exclude the cross from salvation, they would be lined up from here to California wanting to have it. They don't mind, listen, they don't mind receiving a miracle worker. Seemingly that's all you hear about on the television. They don't mind having or receiving Jesus as a miracle worker, as a healer. Amen. They don't mind receiving Jesus in a number of other categories, but they don't want to receive Christ and His cross. Amen. He had to die for you to get saved, and I'll just tell you, you will have to die to get saved. This high-powered Hollywood evangelism that I call it, that my friend goes to doorsteps and mentions nothing about death, nothing about repentance, nothing about a changed life, nothing about a changed mind, nothing about now that you're saved, you become the property and possession of God. Just run them through a little bunch of Bible facts. Do you believe these Bible truths and facts? Well, yeah. Well, then pray this little dime store prayer. And you're saved. They never go to church. Most of them never go to church. My friend, they don't live for God. Listen, I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to offer anybody a salvation that excludes the cross.
Amen.
You say you'll run them off. Run them off of what? You take a man that's dying with some kind of dreadful disease and the doctor says, look, I've got to do this and it's going to hurt. I don't care. Give it to him. Well, I got to cut this out and I got to cut this off. I don't care. Get the knife. It's amazing how people will do everything in the book to avoid death physically. And they'll do the same spiritually. Preacher, I don't mind going to church, but I ain't dying. Don't talk to me about no cross. I ain't going on no cross, preacher. I'm going to keep living my life. Well, that attitude lets me wonder, or makes me wonder if you even have His life. Because the attitude of a real born-again child of God is, I love Him for loving me. I thank Him for lifting me up and saving my unworthy, hell-deserving soul. And the least I can do, my friend, is give Him my life and bear the cross of identity and self-denial and say, I am His. Sinners. Sinners are dead toward God, but alive toward this world and sin. Saints are right the opposite. Saints are dead toward this world and sin, but are alive to God. That's why sinners are not interested. They're dead toward God. That part of them, that spiritual connection with God, is dead. They have no contact. They have no hookup with God. That's why the things of God are boring to them. The Bible don't say nothing to them. They have no hookup. They're not indwelt by His Spirit. Amen. Their own human spirit has never been regenerated and made alive. Are you listening? If we get dead enough, we'll have more life than we could live. Paul said, once I got crucified with Christ, Paul said, I'm not going to let Christ be the only one that dies in this subject.
Amen.
I'm going to be crucified with Him. He's not going to die alone. I've been singing the song this week, nor part of it, I don't know it all. Must Jesus bear the cross alone? I thought about that Friday night when he was preaching on that. Must Jesus bear the cross alone? I want to ask you, must Jesus be the only one that dies in your salvation?
Lord,
no. God wants you, when you get saved,
And that's what happened. Brother Ian, that's what happened. You may not know it. Just being a young convert. That's what happened to you that Thursday night. Ian died. Not physically, but fleshly. Ian died. Ashley died. January 20th, 1981. The old Barry died. And I promise you, if you ever die, God will give you more life than you can handle. Because God will put His life inside your little frame, inside of your little human frame, your little human body. And I'm going to tell you, if the life of God gets inside of your little body, I'm going to tell you it's going to leak out somewhere. It's going to stick out somewhere. There's going to be some evidence of it somewhere. But no, there's people all around this area that claims to have been saved. And where's the life at? Where's the life of God at in their life? They're still cussing and drinking and doping and rolling dice and buying lottery tickets and chasing women. And hey, man, that's right. That life of sin never stopped. A crucified man, when he's on that cross, he's testifying, my life is over. I still remember Micah, that heroin addict in Hendersonville, when I dealt with him in the altar that night. I'm talking about $500 a day addiction. I got down, I laid flat on my belly on the platform, looking him right square in the eyes. And I said, Micah, if you're interested in getting saved, you are done with sin. Your life of drugs is over. Your life of immorality is over. I didn't sugarcoat it. I didn't wonder, well, I'm going to run him off. I wanted him to know, buddy, there's a cost to being a Christian. We've made a candy cane out of the cross. Amen. For people to lick on and suck on. Amen. And enjoy. I'm going to tell you, buddy, there's nothing enjoyable about a cross. Amen. Amen. We can have revival. This church can be the most powerful church anywhere, anytime, if we'll get dead enough. If we'll be crucified, my friend, God will impart His life. And I want to hear a testimony that His life is boring. I want to hear a testimony. I've been saved 28 years and I've never heard it yet. I've never heard it yet out of anybody of any age that enjoys and experiences the life of God that says, oh, I wish I hadn't have got it. Oh, it's been boring. I hate it. There's no joy. Never heard the first one. Amen. Amen. That's right. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
God help us. Let me give you these things and I'll be done. Might be done. Just write these down in your mind about crucifixion. Crucifixion, first of all, is a prerequisite. A prerequisite is something necessary, mandatory, you can't get around it. Was that not true with Jesus? It was a prerequisite. It was the plan of God. Jesus, could we say it this way? Jesus had to die. We're crucified with Christ. So that makes our crucifixion. No, I'm not talking about you got to go to Jerusalem and hang on the cross. I'm talking about we're crucified with Him. Jesus, You died. You died. Amen. You died for me. I'm willing to die. My life of sin, my life for self is over for You.
Amen.
You live for me. I'm living for You now.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. But that crucifixion, number one, is a prerequisite. It's a must. It's the plan of God for both Christ and the Christian. His cross was necessary for our salvation. Ours is necessary for our spirituality. Me being crucified, Miss Seals, don't have a thing to do with my salvation. I'm not saved because I don't do this and
I don't say this and don't talk this way and I don't go this place and I don't wear this or don't whatever. Amen. The list could be a mile long. I'm not saved because of that. Don't you ever forget it. I'm saved because of one cross. Amen. And one death and one resurrection, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen. God forbid that I should glory saved in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm saved, thank God, because Jesus willingly died for me.
Thank you, Lord.
But now my cross has everything to do with my spirituality and my service. A lot of people want His cross, that is, they want to be saved. But they don't want their cross to be spiritual. And not everybody, listen, not everybody can preach and not everybody can teach or sing or bear 100 other things. But God expects every child of God to be spiritual. Every child of God. You know what's wrong with our country? You want to know what's wrong with our country? It's not the absence of government. God help. We don't need big government. When you got big governments, you got big problems, and our country's headed toward communism fast. I tell you what our problem is. It's the absence of spirituality. Did you know that our country, if you were to give a poll, the majority of the people you would interview in this country, yes, the good old USA, will tell you they are saved. But our country is quickly becoming one of the most immoral and wicked and dark and ungodly countries on the planet. Where's the influence from all of these millions of saved people? Where's the influence of all these millions of church-going, Bible-toting people? I'll tell you what it is. That's a people by the majority that my friend wanted, amen, His cross, but don't want their cross. Let me ask you something. The Bible talks about in Acts chapter 1, there was 120 in the upper room. Where were they at the cross? Where were they at? Find John there. Peter wasn't even there. Where's the others at? Where's James? John, the only disciple that went all the way to the cross. Jesus' mother was there. 1 Corinthians talks about that after the resurrection, He appeared to 500 brethren at once. Where were they at the cross? He manifested Himself after the resurrection in many different places. I believe 13 different locations and over 500 people. But where were they at the cross? I'm telling you, the cross is not interesting to most people. They want the benefits of the cross. They want the fact that Jesus died. Praise God, I'm glad He's dying. But it's not worth my time even attending. You know why they didn't want to go? Brother Rob, I'll tell you. They didn't want to show up because they didn't want that identification. You identify with Jesus, you're identifying with His holiness, you're identifying with His purity, you're identifying with His cross. Why do you think Peter cursed and denied? He didn't want that identity. Don't identify me with Jesus. That's the mindset behind people rejecting the crucifixion of their self-life. That's what's behind it. I don't want that identity. People that wouldn't be your friends with that identity is not worth having without that identity with Jesus.
Right. Amen.
I guarantee that's right. I thought I had friends. Brother J.R., I thought I had them. I mean, I thought they'd go thick through thick and thin. But when I got saved, where did they go? I didn't get rid of one of them. I didn't say to one of them, now look, I can't go with you no more. I can't go to that party no more. We can't go down there to the dance floor no more. We can't do this no more. We can't go to the movies no more. I didn't tell one of them that. When I got saved, light automatically dispels darkness. You get identified with Jesus, and only those, my friend, that love Him will love you. Amen. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. We may not be able to write into the periodicals of our day and say we had 5,000 saved this last year or 500 saved this past year.
That's right.
If I was them, I wouldn't write that in no hand, because I think it's pretty embarrassing to write in that you had 900 to 1,000 saved in a month and only baptized 10.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty pathetic. I think that shows what kind of a witness you are. Amen. We dropped a missionary because of that. Every month, 200 and 300 and 400 and 500 people getting saved all over his town. And then it would say, and it would a lot of times be single digits that got baptized. That's easy believism. That's a salvation without a cross. That's a salvation without, my friend, any demands on your life.
Amen.
Every one of us would want that. But you can't have Jesus without the cross. I'm just going to tell you, the songwriter had it well when he wrote, "The way of the cross leads home." You're not going to heaven without going through the cross.
That's right.
Amen. I get to go to heaven because of His cross, but my rewards comes by my cross. Whoa-ho!
Amen.
Yeah, we want crowns. We want crowns. We want crowns to lay at His feet. Every child of God surely ought to want some crowns and some rewards. That don't come by His cross.
Amen.
Life comes through His cross. Rewards and crowns, my friend, comes through my cross.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. I got to hurry. Look right here. Not only is crucifixion a prerequisite, crucifixion is personal. Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ." Crucifixion is personal. Personal. It's not what others are doing. What are you doing? The happiest day in your life will be the day. You know, listen, this ought to be one and the same day, but for a lot of people it's not. You know what the second most happiest day in your life is? If it doesn't happen on that same day as it did with me. The first day is when you get saved. The second most happiest day in your life is when you identify with your cross and die and surrender and submit yourself to God. It is no longer I anymore. It is Christ in me. It's not me, but it's you. It's not my will, it's yours. I'm your servant, you're the master. I'm in your charge, I'm in your control. Whatever you want, that's what you get. That'll be the second most happiest day in your life. What I'm about to say right here, Brother Chuck, most of you in the church right here could name names. I could name several that come and gotten these altars and said they got saved, but they would not deal with sin. They would not detach themselves from sin. And you know what? They didn't last no time. I've told one on the phone. She told me the condition she is in and sin that she is in. I said, "You're going to have to deal with that or you're not going to make it." "Oh, I'm going to deal with it, preacher. I'm going to deal with it, preacher. I'm going to deal with it, preacher. I'm going to deal with it." But not dealt with it. Hadn't dealt with it. And out of church. I've seen it. Seen it. Salvation is more than just His cross. If you don't put your flesh on a cross, your flesh will still run and dominate your life. And I promise you, the flesh life is a contrast to the spiritual life of Jesus.
Amen?
Well, crucifixion is a prerequisite. Crucifixion is personal. We're going to like this one. Crucifixion is painful. I never have, not once, ever went to the altar to yield and surrender, and that is an ongoing process to the Lord about something. And my flesh said, "Whoa, that feels good. Hallelujah, I like that."
Oh, it's wonderful. No, crucifixion is painful. Your flesh will kick and scratch and scream and fight and reject every effort of it dying. There's only been one that we know of that willingly, without fighting and rejecting, laid his hands out there and feet and willingly was crucified, and that was Jesus. Everybody else, they have to wrestle. And that, amen. If you don't think your flesh is wicked to the core, try to put it on a cross. Tell it. Brother Silas asked a question in Sunday school. How long has it been since you told your flesh no? Just this week, see, this has been working on my heart for a while. And just this week, I'd have thoughts go through my mind. And I said, and I'm just trying it. I'm just practicing. I'm still learning. I've been saved 28 years. I'm still learning. I said, mind, that's my mind is Christ's mind. And those thoughts are not welcome. I'm dead to those thoughts. Amen. I'm dead to that thinking. I'm dead to those thoughts. My mind belongs to Jesus. Amen. And I am dead to that. And I'm telling you, those thoughts, it's gone. When I offered a little bit of rejection, when I offered a little bit of Bible truth about me being dead to those things.
Amen.
When's the last time you told your flesh no? Most churches are built around fleshly things. Things that cater to the flesh. That's truth, isn't it? Well, glory. Crucifixion is painful. There's nothing pleasurable about it. In fact, it's one of the most painful deaths ever devised. Not only that, but crucifixion is a process. Crucifixion is a process. It's not an instantaneous death, but sometimes very slow, sometimes lasting hours and many times days. Sometimes, Brother Silas, it's not a quick run to the altar and get her fixed up. Sometimes it may take days for you to yield a death blow to a fleshly desire or some kind of a sinful impulse in your life. Crucifixion is a process. Crucifixion is a passing away. Crucifixion, when you saw a man going through Jerusalem with a cross on his back, you know what everybody else said? He's over. He's history. His life's done. We won't see him no more down at the dance hall. We won't see him no more down there, my friend, at the party house. We won't see him no more down at these other places. He's dead. The talk down at the place was, well, hey, where's he at? I ain't seen him lately. Oh, haven't you heard? He died. You said, well, I wonder why he's not back down here. A cross got in his way. Hey, man, a cross got in his way. A crucifixion is a passing away. Could I say this? Salvation is a death. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with affection and love. Salvation is a death. But salvation is also a resurrection. But anyway, it's a passing away. It's passing away. And then crucifixion is a price to pay. Crucifixion is a price to pay. There's no salvation apart from Jesus paying the price on a cross, nor will there be spirituality in your life and influence without a cross. The greatest emblem of influence in our entire history has been the cross. Nothing has ever influenced humanity more than the cross. And we want to influence others without our cross? It will not happen. It will not happen. Well, I'm going to stop right there. And if the Lord helps me and leads me to, we'll come back. I don't know if we'll come back tonight or not on it. I need to tell that, because if I say we're going to come back tonight, we're going to get crucified. Preacher, I already feel like I'm going to be sick after a while. Amen. I don't think I'm going to come to get crucified. You're missing the point. You're missing the point. The way to life is through death.
Remember I told you at the beginning? Humanly, you have life that ends with death. But spiritually, it's right the opposite. Death is at the beginning, and it produces life and never ends.
Amen.
That's why it's called eternal life. That's why it's called everlasting life. Death is not the end. Death is at the beginning. Die to self. Die to sin. And said, Lord, I'm yours. I belong to you. You're mine forever.
Thank you.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
And I just want you to know tonight, or this morning, even in Jesus' day, that was His message. When He preached about coming and following Him and taking up your cross, that's all about what He was talking about. That's what He was talking about. Those disciples taught on it in Sunday school. Discipleship. Being identified with that cross. Amen. Jesus lived 33 and a half years, had a 3.5 year public ministry. And you know how many He had that was really interested in a cross? I'm talking about Jesus, personified, God manifest in the flesh. You know how many He had that was interested in a cross? Handful. Had 11. Had 12, but one of them was the devil. He wasn't interested in the cross. Judas. Amen. Where was all the... Why wasn't the multitude? Brother Silas, that passage you dealt with in Sunday school, Luke 14, that whole crowd was falling. Multitudes falling. What did He start dealing with? He started identifying them with the cross and their love, supreme love for Him. And you know what happened to them? They wanted a meal, but not a master. They wanted a quick fix, but they didn't want no claims put on their life. And I'm going to tell you, friend, that's the way it is today. There are not near as many people saved as you think. There are not near as many people saved as you think. Nobody will go to heaven except by the cross. Are you saved? Has there been a time in your life when you received His death and resurrection life? And as a result, and as a production of that, you surrendered your life to the Lord and said, Lord, here I am. It's not about me no more. It's not about what I want no more. It's about You. I want to live my life to please You. A church that'll have that attitude will be the most lively, the most powerful church around. We can have revival, Brother Henry, if we can get dead. Because dead, life comes through death. Jesus' life, resurrection, that life came after death. He had to die first. He had to die first. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for the opportunity, Lord, to stand once again. And Lord, deal with a very crucial and very critical, urgent need. It's a matter of life and death, sure is. What kind of life we live has to do with what kind of death. If we've died to self, then we'll have Your life. We'll enjoy Your life. But Lord, if we haven't died to self, then we're still living the self life. And that will end in death one day, both physically and eternally. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that You'd help those in this building that are saved to realize, God, that You saved them to serve You. You saved them and imparted into them Your life. And dear Father, You deserve us to be identified with You. Lord, these young people in this building, Lord, even at a young age, they just need to go ahead and say, God, here I am. I surrender. I'm willing to be a sacrifice for Jesus. I'm willing. Here today, Jesus did not die forcefully, nor will we. Lord, You're wanting it to be willful. You're wanting it to be voluntary on our part. Jesus' death for us was motivated by love. Our death on the cross, being crucified with Jesus, that life also, that death also will be motivated by love. Love for the Lord. Father, I pray You'd help us. Lord, You've exposed right here in the last 3 to 4 days a lot of emphasis about the cross and about us carrying a cross and about us dying to self. Lord, You're trying to deal with us. There may be some that would say, "Preacher, I don't know what's going on in my life, but I'm losing interest quick. I don't know what's going on in my life, but I'm drying up. I'm dying quickly, spiritually." Now, I believe, dear God, that many times, in most cases, they can look and see where there's a failure to be reckoning themselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. Lord, the song, "Must Jesus Bear the Cross Alone?" Lord, You're not the only one that's going to bear the cross. You're not the only one that's going to die, Jesus. I'm willing to die. I'm willing, dear Father. Oh God, work it in us, Lord. That's all I know to pray. Work it in us. Lord, there's people here not saved. Lord, they may not have a clue what I was preaching. But Lord, I want them to know that there's no salvation available for them apart from the death of Jesus. And anybody that accepts Jesus accepts His cross. And that old life is dead. They become dead to that old man and old life. And they receive Jesus' life and they're raised to walk in the newness of life. Work it in us, Lord. Work it in us.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.